Very good evening, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Mari Podcast, where we help you to make sound financial decisions. I am your usual host, Kudzai, and I am here to help you walk you through the topics that we are going through under the COVID-19 series. So just so that you're reminded that we are certainly available on social media, you will find us on Twitter, you will find us on Facebook under the tag at Mari Podcast, or rather under the handle at Mari Podcast. You can also be able to see this episode as well as other past and future episode on www.mari.co.zw. Last but not least, we are on Zimbabwe's favorite app, which is WhatsApp, and you can be able to be part of one of our broadcast only groups where there's no discussion. You basically just need to write to us 0772-191-282. Simply say subscribe me and we will add you to one of those groups. We also have just one group where we have the noisy folk, where we have lots of discussions. If you're interested in that one, also specify so that we add you both into the broadcast group as well as into the discussion group. I did tongue twist myself there. So let's get right into today's session, or today's particular topic, which is budgeting, as according to the schedule that we had sent out as we began this particular lockdown series. The intention really is just to help us to reimagine our finances, rework our personal finance, taking note of the fact that no matter what happens, the basics of money do not go away. Even in a season like this, we will still need to budget. And so tonight we want to talk about budgeting, what I normally like to call the ultimate money management tool. The most important tool you can ever have in managing your money is certainly the budget. It's that thing that reflects both that which comes in and that which goes, that which is received and that which is to be spent. And of course, there is only just but one aim with the budget. The aim is to balance, to find your balance. And you take note that there are just two sides to your budget: income and expenses. The ideal situation is where you have a surplus of income over expenditure, or at the very least, your income is square, it is equal to your expenses. Never a good thing when the expenses are much more than income. And so these are the things that you and I need to talk about. I want to say that there has to be a methodology to how one spends, and certainly your budget is that particular guiding things. And it can be used both in theory, in other words, you can be able to balance on paper, and then it can also be used in practice, which means what you've balanced on paper, you go out there and you actually practice. Now, I've heard many people who say, yeah, I earn very little, so it's pointless, you know, for me to budget. If anything, if you have very little money, you are the right candidate. We must be very careful with money, because if you are not careful with your money, because it's so little, you cannot be able to cover the critical things. And so I also realize that there are people who say that, you know, I have too much money, how can I buy? And I just take it out of my pocket. Can I pay? But you realize that having a budget allows you to be able to optimize how you deploy your resources. You'll take note when we spoke about financial planning, we said there is short term, medium and long term. Certainly in the short term, your budget will be extremely helpful, because it will help you to push yourself and to manage your resources and to rework them in such a way that you can optimize them to be able to achieve your goals. And so in order to implement a proper financial plan, you do need a tool that will compare your income and your expenditure, and that tool is called a budget. Budgeting can be done over set periods. That could be annually, if you get your money once a year, like we know right now that it is tobacco season in Zimbabwe. For the farmers, the bulk of their finances are tied to that cycle of farming tobacco. So once a year when they're paid, that is the money that will take them to this time next year when they get their next large tranche of money. So there are people who may need to budget annually. So whatever they get now, they should be able to spread so that it sustains them and they're able to grow their wealth up to the next season. Some, of course, and this is the average, most people will get their income on a monthly basis. But I know that there are many informal people who are getting money weekly and some even daily. All of these have to do with the fact that, you know, all of us have an income cycle. So a budget in any case must be tied to one's income cycle. And I always like to say that the intention is to balance on paper first. So you're basically just planning your work or planning your spending, and then thereafter you then work the plan. What will a budget help you to do? It will help you to order your spending in accordance with priorities for that particular period. It helps you to see where you can create a fiscal space for special and important projects from the present income. It's really the place where you can determine using numbers what your affordable lifestyle is. We did speak about lifestyle in planning. You may have a desire to live a certain lifestyle, but you know, numbers, like they say, do not lie. The numbers will tell you, ah, bambo, moda open you $100, but when you never 150, on there were $200, on there were $10. Basically, we are saying that when you have the right budget, you can be able to determine a lifestyle you can afford. We do not want you to be living a champagne life on a beer budget, or to bring it close at home for those that do not drink at all. We do not want you to be living a cascade life on a freeze-it budget. So the process really of budgeting would then include you establishing what we would call your maximum spend, where you're just saying to yourself, look, I know that on the regular, this is what I would get as a maximum, and we call that your maximum spend. But of course, that then would be set off against what we would call your usual expenses as well. So you can actually be able to list your expenses, and then after having done those initial, you know, two things in the process, you can now rework in need and live according to that budget that you would draw up thereafter. May you allow me to say this one thing, that people who master their budget normally are people who master their financial lives. And I want to quickly draw to your attention the fact that I am not necessarily like other financial wellness coaches who believe in pinching every single penny or Zimbabwe cent and hoping that that will bring you to a better place. If anything, I want to encourage that it is important not only to maintain balance from the figures, but balance in life, which basically says in the budget somewhere, there must be provision for living. So put in the important things, and I always say this when I do live sessions, particularly when I do marocation, I don't want to try and cheat. I think that Maria is going to green bar, you know, going to my foot, no, she's not reasonable. That is how Maria would want to go your gate. So that balance is extremely important so that someone can be able to live a proper life that not only balances on figures, but is balanced, because really you must pay as you go. So the first step, because there are five important steps to highlight in this session, the first step in order to manage your money well is to be able to approximate or to come out with what you think is your monthly or average, you know, monthly or whatever periodic income. And this is logical to do because whatever you make is definitely the maximum from a money or a figure perspective that you can spend. I did talk about a quick recollection at the time of our grade 3 math, where we said, you know, if you've got 5, you really cannot take away 8. When you're at grade 1 level, the answer is it can't. You ideally would not spend more in a month than that which you make in the month, because that would be the classic definition of living beyond your means. So your income ideally would show you or dictate to you where you can stay, what you can eat, where you can learn, the mode of travel you use, and what you can wear. And all of these come down to personal choices. I mean, someone may argue that no one is traveling, we're all locked down, certainly. But even in the lives that we're living, in the houses that we're living, our levels of income are dictating what we're eating, are dictating what you're wearing, are dictating whether each child has a room of their own and we can self-isolate if we so desire, or if everybody has to squeeze in, you know, a room or so. And I like it because I've always said that in Zimbabwe, there is something for every pocket. So you can start off in any place, but you can also end up in any place as well. It is up to you to then ensure that whatever combination of lifestyle choices you make can fit into your income. So step number one is to know that which is your income. The second step then is to list against income all of your monthly or periodic expenses and the cost or the figures that come with them. Now, you want to be as thorough as possible on this one, taking note of the fact that there are always many, many, many things to pay for. You never run out of things to pay for. In fact, after basic living expenses such as rent and utilities, there is school, there is personal care, there is transport, communication, groceries, insurance cover, others through family and friends, or some of you are, you know, contributing in places like church or whatever, you know, places where you prefer to donate. It is important that you then list as many of these things as you can so that you can be able to see how best you can navigate. And if those of you who are just tuning in may not know, we do have a Mari podcast free, you know, budget template, which we are happy to share with you. And if you have heard this particular podcast, feel free to just, you know, reach out on 0772-191-282 and ask for the budget. I'll take that again, 0772-191-282. Do ask for the budget template and we'll more than gladly share it with you absolutely free of charge. You can play around with it in Excel, and that can help you to be able to determine your income and of course your expenses. And so the income side obviously will take account of every source of income you have that you're expecting for that specific month. And then the expenses will take care of every expense you're going to incur that is due and payable in that every month. So be sure that you look at a sample budget of that nature so that can trigger in you, you know, some of the sample items or some items that may actually have been left out. Because when it comes to money, every little thing that is paid for adds up, including going to the barber or going to the saloon. So once you have those first two things, the third thing is quite obvious. We are now saying, right, I have all of my income, it totals this much. I have all of my expenses, they total that much. I compare the difference between the two, income and expenses. And if I have excess of income over expenditure, I'm in a good place. Or alternatively, it may occur that I have balanced. Or finally, it may be that I have an excess of expenditure over income. The ideal situation is always to have more income than expenditure. But for those that are starting out again in order to bring their finances, you know, to a proper disciplined state, just balancing is a very good start. When you then discover whatever total you have, this would lead you to step number four. And for those that have not balanced, you would want to say to yourself, particularly those that would have a surplus of expenditure over income, you want to now begin to revisit every line item of the budget one by one, and you interrogate. You would then have to say, there are things I may need to reduce, there are things I may need to completely eliminate. And so until you get to such a time where the income for that period is exactly matching the expenses, at that point we would then say you have balanced. And it's not on me to say, Visaychkaf, Visay Petro, it's you who must then decide what lifestyle do I want. If it's a zero-sum game where if you put in too much petrol, that means you eat less meat, then it's up to you. It's a choice that you must make. If you want to have both, then you certainly need to increase the income. But ideally for many people, they start by dealing with a limited amount of income, which then has to be narrowed down to whatever it is you're able to spend. Take note that amongst your expenses, depending on the approach you may take, you may either put in savings so that you have a clear view of what in total came in and what in total went out. But from our discussion yesterday, we did say it is ideal to have taken out your savings prior to beginning to do this budget. Make sure that other expenses, you also put in any other obligations you may have. It could be bank account, payments where you're paying off a loan, a consumer loan, or whatever it is. Those things you can't wiggle out of. You want to make sure that they are certainly retained no matter what you do in the pursuit of finding balance. So after having listed income and expenses, comparing the two, and then step number four, making adjustments, you then want to say to yourself, what would be the fifth and final step? But perhaps one more thing before we talk about the fifth and final step. I want to say, when you have balanced, then you've done well. For many, the process of balancing may take 2, 3, maybe even 4 cycles as you relook and reconsider what may matter the most in your specific circumstances in that instant. There are things that may not be easy to change, like rent. Rent is rent, right? But if the budget persistently fails to budget, to balance, that may be your cue to say, you know, relook your entire life. Think about moving where you're staying from, maybe downsizing the house you're renting, maybe changing your children's schools, maybe parking the vehicle and opting to commute, perhaps relooking the menu of what you're eating daily. There's always something you can do to make essentials, find the non-essential services, remove them, but stay with the essential things, make sure that they are fitting on your budget and they're guided by whatever is your available income. So these are considerations that are important to make. And that's where you begin to say to yourself, what is the lifestyle we want to embrace as a family? And how much should we cut off? What specific things should we cut off so that we arrive at where we want to be at this point in time? Again, I'll reiterate what I did say. For the average person, that's the step you will take. Very few of us are able to say, after listing everything they want, then decide to say, I think I should just add more income. Yeah, that way I'll be able to balance. Not many people are flexible in that way. But let me say the fifth and final step then is, after having balanced on your budget, now live according to the budget and you record any notable changes over time. You are likely to have to do maybe 3 or so cycles before, you know, over maybe 3 or so 6 months, before you realize where your sweet spot is, where you see where you underestimated some income, where you perhaps overstated some expensive. You will land on some, this month I did this much for airtime, I used 100. Next month you may use 80, and then thereafter you are stable at 90. So 80 is too little, 100 is too much, but 90 is your sweet spot. So that does make a difference. You will also realize that after you've done your budget, there are things that may appear that you are not really taking account of. They may be once-off perhaps. You could also then add this in into future budgets so that you take account of them and you make provision. But again, you will take note that for many people, they are off with budgets, and they generally say that whatever budget you come with, you're probably going to be off by about 30%. So I did say this in the context of Zimbabwe, especially. People say, look, I may do a budget, but prices may change. I always say, live on less than you're making. If you're making $100, make your budget for about $70 so that whatever changes may occur on groceries and other things can be covered in the 30 that you've just sort of discounted the budget by, and that will help you to have some form of cover moving on. And so in reality, you will certainly discover there are things you have under budgeted on, some you have over budgeted on, but this is a journey rather than a sprint. Or to quote my investment analyst brother, you know, who I was talking to on Twitter, I've just forgotten his name. You know, at the end of the day, some may do the bootcamp, some may do the Zumba, but ultimately all of us will be fit. So bootcamps are for those that have a very strong resilience. For many of us, we may have to learn bit by bit through Zumba. And we are saying here at Mari Podcast, we are happy to walk with you at that pace, whatever pace that suits you well. So over a couple of periods, I did say 3 to 6 months, you will find a working model for you and have a fair idea of what you spend each month. Take note that all of these figures are being done in Zimbabwe dollars possibly, but always make sure you convert them ultimately to United States dollars. Or if you can, just do the United States dollars from the beginning so that you have a proper benchmark, so that if anything changes, you know that for my household, and I know personally for my household that perhaps I could say I can live very comfortably or a decent life, not very comfortably, but I can live a decent life at a level of 700 United States dollars per month, not taking account the major things that may need to be paid for, like school fees or the occasional servicing of the car, etc. If I need to sort of infuse all of that into a year, that may bring my figure for a year to 1,200, because I know that I have maybe 2 children going to school, I have a car to service, I have this and that. All of those things are important things to take note of. So you will come up with what you say is a fair idea of what you require to live every month. That figure, after being tested and deciding on how you want to live, would speak to your present lifestyle. Now, here's a good part. If your income increases and you had said we can live on 500 a month, and you know now you have income of 800, you could either just sort of take back a few things you'd taken off and go to 600 and still have $200 left over. And those things you had removed or things you had reduced, you can then bring back into a lifestyle. So that means then your lifestyle is done in combination with a budget. I want to say to live without a budget at all is to live with absolutely no plan. And I dare say to live recklessly. But to live with a budget is basically to live with a plan, and it certainly is living purposefully. The monthly living plan can then work, like I said, with an annual budget for things that you would pay for that are major. So it could be that annual vacation, it could be your car payments or a car insurance, it could be an asset that you're intending to buy. Those things can then come in as special projects. You'll take note when we give you a template, it does show you, you know, those kind of things, your day-to-day things on the one end, and on the other end, it does show you the annual things. And somewhere in a block at the end, it will show you how you can then combine the two together so that you can have a feel of what you require a year. And I think it's important that every family, every individual, every institution even, have an understanding of their budget for the year. In fact, in Zimbabwe, every year, if all things being equal, by November, they share out what they call the national budget. And what then happens with this budget in November is they're basically just saying to us, this is what we anticipate to receive as a nation, this is what we anticipate to spend, and we think we will be in excess by this much, or we will be short by that much. And those things help you to plan, because every budget item, every line item is like an envelope that you can draw down from. When it is finished, it is finished. You may find that some envelopes may not be opened in a year at all. Some may deplete faster than others. The only way to actually get this going is to actually start doing it. So with money things, it's never about the theory. It is really beginning to try and to start doing it. Is it easy? No, it's not easy, but it can be done. It is not impossible, and it is quite feasible. And I want to say that when you look at the budget, don't look at it as a very negative thing. If anything, consider your budget as a friend that guides you financially and not a foe. I mean, in the days of technology we are living in, some of you are losing Alexa. You know, you just say, Alexa, tell me this. Alexa, tell me that. You know, consider your budget as a friend that is virtual, that is telling you about your money. Spend this, draw back on that. How about this? And it's important also that you actually keep a record of your budgets, at the very least over the next 6 months, over time. And over time, you can actually be able to see that which you could have done better. You reflect on past choices, and then thereafter, do better. Consider your budget a living document, there to guide you shortly, there to guide you bit by bit in the short term, in the medium term, and as well as long term. So it is important that you show respect to your money by planning for it before spending it. And if you do that, your money will equally have respect for you. So budgets are never evil things. They are good things. They help us have an understanding of where we could be. And it does help you also to appreciate where you are coming from all the way to the places that you may end up, which is basically where you are going. So I did make an inference to the fact that we have a budget template that we can happily share with you. And you'll take note that there are a couple of perspectives that are in there. Some of the things we've put in, I'm just going to quickly walk you through in the next few minutes so that when it comes to you, you know best how to use it. So it has a green box that speaks about monthly income. And in there, we've put in, you know, monies from different all sorts of things. I've only put in about four. I have salaries there, money that you're making from a salary, money that you're making from investment. In this case, it's a rental. Money that you're making from things like, you know, side gigs, buying and selling, like network marketing. Money that you're making from, you know, a project like chickens. Money that you may potentially be receiving from outside of the country, because we know a good chunk of our people do survive on remittances. And so there's a total income box in that green place there. And then it actually then helps you to preempt by putting what we call an available to spend after bank charges. So we've assumed bank charges at about 4% or so. And we're basically saying that all things being equal, you know, you can be able to put in all of those figures and that thing will calculate for you what is actually available to spend less bank charges. Don't underestimate them. I mean, here in my example, which you'll see, we have a family that has an income of about 9,000, but after bank charges, you know, they're only left with 8,640. What has happened to the 360? It has been eaten by banks, you know, I was going to say sanctions, by bank charges. And it's not a small amount that can get you two medium pizzas on a Thursday like this at Pizza Inn. Moving across on the right side of the green box is the yellow box, which really is where we should have started from, where we've actually put in your Nini family. And you can tell where I come from in the country by just that word alone. You would then pump in whatever your family name is or your individual institutional name could be. But this is a template for personal finance. So you then put in also from a monthly perspective, which month is it? And then what is the current exchange rate, which you'll take note we've actually put in as a formula within the rest of the boxes. So if you change nothing except, you know, that top part, everything else should sort of work itself out. If you put in Zimbabwe dollar, it should give you the US dollar equivalent according to that rate we've simply put. So the pink box is to make it nice and exciting. That is where a long list of monthly expenses is. We've tried to be as exhaustive as possible, but it's all not too tedious. So we've kind of demonstrated things that you must pay for that an average Zimbabwean would pay for every month. Taking account, of course, of savings, maybe we should call it savings stroke investment for the sake of those that like to split hairs. But I still argue that you can't say when someone has taken money that the first thing they do is immediately go into investing. No. With the moment you remove money and say, this one I'm not going to spend, you know, from, you know, income, even if it's holding on to it for the 10 minutes you're holding on to it, you're saving it. You're not eating it, right? And then as quickly as possible, you want to make sure you can be able to invest it. But you've also put in things you pay for every month, airtime, barber, car wash. You know, those things add up. City parking, those guys want a lot of money, especially if they clamp you. Your domestic worker who's working for you, DSTV, an emergency fund. This we cannot overemphasize the need for. Every new budget going forward must contain this line item, because we know what has happened in this period and how we could have been rescued if we had that line item. So funeral cover, we've put in all of those things because we know it is important to take account of yourself and cover yourself in case of emergency. We've put in medical aid, we've put in loan repayments, we've put in pocket money, rent, rates, saloon, paying ZESA, paying ZINWA, etc. All of those things are extremely important expenses and they're totaled somewhere there. And then of course across the pond in the orange box are what I would now call your annual expenses and where we are putting their things that can only perhaps be incurred once or twice in a year. You have birthdays there, you have purchasing of clothes, seeing a dentist twice, buying exercise gear, furniture and other household purchases, perhaps seeing specialists like a gynecologist or a ped or a urologist, you know, holiday travel as well, because we must enjoy our money, our home repairs, home utensils, personal development. Something you must budget for, even if it's very little money. Budget something for that school fees, stationery that comes with it, uniforms, toys. And if you own a vehicle, you know, servicing and insurance and licensing. And of course, if you own an investment property or a house, there are maintenance costs that come with that house as well. And so you would then find that in the last blue box, which is very important, we then summarize a summary of your income and expenditure, where we take note of, we actually draw in the amount we got from the very first box, that total monthly amount available to spend. We put in the fixed monthly expenses that we have totaled from the pink box. And again, there's a formula there. You might not need to do anything really to manipulate the blue box. It should all add up all by itself. And then the annual payments or requirements, you know, for each month, where basically we've put in a formula that allows you to annualize what is it that I require every month to take care of me that month and other things that would occur in the bulk of the year. And we then come up with what we call your total monthly expenditure. This then can be netted off against your total monthly income, and it gives you a very fair idea of what you anticipate you may receive, what you anticipate you may spend on in a full year, all in, everything taken account of. That difference that you come up with there, ideally would want the difference to be square at zero. If there is a surplus that is positive, then perhaps increase on investments or other things. And if it is negative, you again have to go back and relook your monthly costs, your annual costs, and then see how you can move from there. We've added yet another, you know, a feature to our budget, which is basically groceries and menu. So we've put in a long list of things that people could potentially buy for groceries. And of course, we've put in a blank menu, because one of the hacks, one of the best hacks in terms of managing money is to start by actually managing things you're going to spend on. So never go out and spend without a budget. And it actually starts from simple things. We know groceries are one of the biggest items on any grocery list, on any budget rather. And so start with the menu. What is it we eat for breakfast, lunch, supper? How many people live in our house? What are the requirements? What are the groceries that must be purchased? How much do they cost? Actually develop a costing approach to your livelihoods as a family. It really helps you, because then you can say to yourself, where you think you have no places to make adjustments, you can revisit the menu and then ultimately the grocery list, which translates to proper figures on your budget sheet. And so you would populate what you eat for breakfast, lunch, and supper, and then put a dollar value to the groceries that are attached to the preparation of that meal through to the end. And that helps you to keep track of one of the largest figures that is found on any budget, which is groceries. And so I want to say all of these are important things that we've highlighted around managing your money. If you win on your budget, you can be able to move around things as and when you want to create the fiscal space yourself. You don't have to wait for anybody to tell you how to spend. I want to say that in as much as we would not want to dictate how you eat your money, how you spend your money, please, there must at the very least be a method to the madness. And so take use or take account of the things we've said here. Make use of the tool that we've shared with you free of charge. Circulate it. And here's one important thing as well. Make sure you buy in from the family when you begin to develop a budget. Absolutely no point trying to dictate to people who will go and do otherwise and throw the budget out of the window. Many Zimbabweans are good at balancing budgets, but I think the greatest thing we must now learn to do is the exact thing we ask our government to do. They write great papers, fantastic policy positions, very poor implementation. In the same way, let me say, it begins with you. Go out and write down that budget. Make sure that you balance it. And then more importantly, more than anything else, live according to the plan that you have made. And your money will stay managed and you will be in a very good place. Cheers.